Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 39. It's Friday, and Rue is finally on the road. Fortunately, I'm driving, and we talk first adventures, always finding new trails, and first aid. First and foremost, I hope everyone has had a fantastically fun holidays. This week has been super busy, what with the holidays, and getting prepared to hit the road. So I'm going to fly right into today's episode with Carla and her beautiful beagle, Stella, from Vancouver.
I didn't really remember it at first because when I got off the car, when we went on Cyprus, and the mountain now covering snow. And she kind of looked at the snow and she was like, I don't know, what is this? Why is this? And I was like, Stella, it's okay. You know the snow, you like it. And then she looks at me and she, like, her immediate reaction was she just to bury her face in the snow. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is so great. You're so right.
That always happens to us, too. It's like we don't see snow for months. And as soon as she sees it, her first reaction is like, what? What's this? And then immediately she's like, yeah! And then it's zoomies, and that's why you have a photo of Stella flying above the snow. I love that photo.
Oh my God, yes.
Such a great photo.
I just have, from our last adventure, I have a really great snow photo of her just running in the snow, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm looking at. It's that one from Cypress Mountain. It's awesome. So terrific. And then the look on her face and her ears are just, she looks like she's flying. It totally looks like she's flying.
I know. I always say that she's like my Dumbo. You know?
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it. You said it. Oh, such a good one, though. But yeah, so if you're ready to get started with this.
Yeah.
Okay. If you just want to introduce yourself and your pup.
Okay. Hey, I'm Carla, and my puppy Stella is a pocket beagle. She's a year old, and we live in Vancouver, Canada.
Okay. And she is, I should say y'all are on Instagram at Stella_the_beagle.
Yes. You got it right.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'll go ahead and say, I came across your account, and I think that someone else I have interviewed in the past may have brought up your name, and I was looking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I can't remember who it was. I'll have to find out. It's kind of what I've called the Instagram connect the dots. Everyone kind of knows everyone, and you find all these great connections. But when I checked out your account, you have some amazingly beautiful photos. And Stella is really young, and y'all are kind of new. But just from day one, all of your photos are just, they're gorgeous. They're almost like magical. They just have a certain look to them. And especially being in British Columbia, you have an awesome place to shoot photos.
Yeah, we are really lucky that we can basically just drive half an hour from the city and then just be outdoors anywhere.
Yeah. Like, I'm sitting here looking at photos right now, and I've got to stop looking at them because I forget what to talk about. So.
Oh, that's okay. I'm actually really glad that you liked it. I like when people let me know that because, so much pressure.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, you've been getting outside before you got Stella, correct? Backpacking and hiking and stuff like that?
Well, kind of. Like, when I moved here to Vancouver, I came to stay with a homestay family.
Okay.
And they were really active when I got here. So I got to experience for, like, the first time in my life to be, like, actually, like, outdoors. Because in my country, there were limited spaces where I could, like, actually be outside.
Okay.
But mostly, like, city life. So as soon as I got the experience when I moved here, I really fell in love with just, like, the nature and being outside. And I just wanted to keep going. But unfortunately, I did not have a car at that time. And if you don't have a car here in Vancouver, it's kind of hard sometimes to be outdoors.
Okay.
Because most of, like, the hikes and, like, the other places, you can only be reached by car. So I didn't got a car until, like, 2 years ago, I think.
Okay.
And then I started, like, hiking with a friend, and I was, like, really interested in it. And I think around the same time, I moved to a basement suite underneath a really big old house.
Okay.
And I was living by myself, and I asked my landlord if I could have a dog. And he was like, oh, I'm not really sure, because, you know, sometimes, you know, how it is, like, they don't really like renters to have dogs sometimes. So, but he liked me, like, he was like, oh, you know what, you'll be okay having a dog. So I was, like, so excited about it. And literally the second he mentioned, yes, you can have a dog, I was, like, searching all over Google, like pets and, like, where can I get one dog? And I always wanted to have a beagle because one of my childhood neighbors used to have one. And
okay.
He was the cutest thing on earth. And I also wanted to have, like, a small breed because even though I love big dogs, I don't think I can handle it. It's just, it will be too much work for myself. So, yeah, I just, like, searched the web, and I found a post, I think on Craigslist or on a website. I don't remember.
Okay.
And they set up, a FaceTime call with me, and they showed me Stella, and I was like, yes, this is the puppy, and, you know, the next weekend, basically, I took a ferry over Nanaimo because they were in Nanaimo Island.
Okay.
And I picked up Stella, and that was it.
Okay.
That's how we came together.
You talk about wanting a small breed, and I know plenty of people that have some small dogs that are still working dogs, so possible to still get a high activity working dog even in a small breed. Like Australian Shepherd dogs,
right,
which are relatively small, but oh my gosh, they are still just like full of energy, just nonstop. So I guess for you were thinking more about just size-wise and handling a larger dog, I guess.
Yeah, also, like, I was considering, like, I also knew that I wanted to feed my dog, like, raw food, and
okay.
I think it was more in my budget to have a dog that, you know, needed less food, you know?
That makes a whole lot of sense.
And even though that Stella is a hound, and yes, she has a really active snow, and she basically needs to get mentally tired as well.
Okay.
I knew it was something that I could handle. And I don't know, I think it was mostly because of, like, her size compared to, like, a larger breed dog.
Yeah.
Sometimes convenient for, like, traveling and, like, groomer and, you know, other stuff that comes with, like, larger sizes.
Okay. And also, I guess, you know, when your landlord says, yeah, I guess you can have a dog, you don't want to immediately go out and get like a mastiff.
Yes. Also, like, the space where I was living, it wasn't big. So, you know, I didn't want to have a big dog suffering in like an apartment or, you know.
Yeah.
A space where he couldn't like run outside.
Well, you do get out with her. So, you know, once you moved to Vancouver and you were already kind of getting active, did getting Stella get you outside more?
Yes, it definitely got me to like move outside even more.
Okay.
I would like search hikes where I could bring my dog, and you know, and it was really, I don't know, it would just make me really happy just to like be outside with her. Also, when she's happy, I'm happy. So you know, when Stella sees a trail, she immediately responds like where her tail is wagging. She's like running back and forth, and she just has the best time of her life. And I don't know. I think we're just very happy outside.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about her first adventure, how you started getting her out.
I think we drove out to Squamish, which is an hour away from Vancouver. And we just went out there to check out the lake. And we didn't really need a hike because she was still a young puppy. I think she was around like 4 months old or something like that. And it was, the lake was still frozen because during February, March, we still have snow. And basically, we just went to, like, introduce her to the outdoor life.
Okay.
And we just let her, like, smell around and, you know, to just have a good time around the trail. And she got super tired just for, like, walking around the lake. And I immediately knew that she would like to be outside because she was really happy as well on that day.
Yeah. And then on top of that, gosh, with all the snow, I would think that, and I'm looking back at, I guess, some of, well, I guess your first photos are from more towards the summer, like in July.
Yeah. Like when I started her account, I wasn't like really active because I was also figuring out how to take photos. So.
Okay.
So I wasn't really active, so most of our photos are from the summer, and then we're starting to have all our winter, like, Christmassy photos, like, this time.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like, wanted to, like, reset the entire account once I kind of figure out the type of photos that we were, like, posting, and, you know, that was, like, the voice of what I wanted for her Instagram. So
okay.
It kind of, that was like my first actual Stella's photo, kind of.
More towards the summer?
Yeah.
Okay. So that first trip to Squamish, I mean, gosh, that's not too far away.
Yeah, I drove up there with her. And as I say, we didn't walk too far. It was just like probably we walk around the lake. And she was following me, and she was having such a great time in the snow. And I kind of knew that she would like the outdoors. So every month I would take her, like, to farther hikes. And I started to notice that she was gaining, like, some... She was able to walk farther, so I was, like, I will... Because I didn't want to push her too hard, because...
Yeah.
Still concerned about her joints, and you know, she was still developing. So we didn't really do big, long hikes until she was almost a year old.
Okay.
Most of her like first hikes were like 5K or something that she could handle, and it wasn't hard for her body.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, and that's kind of what I recommend to everyone, especially with younger pups. You know, just kind of working them up and getting them conditioned for everyday hiking. And Squamish is only, you said that's only about an hour from you.
Yes, it's only an hour from me, and then you can go, you can still drive farther up, and then there is Whistler, and then it's Pemberton, which we also like.
Yeah.
So Whistler is usually where people go, like, skiing and snowboarding, but it's basically full of trails. And then Pemberton is another hour away from Whistler, so there's a lot of, like, outdoors as well. So basically all that Squamish, Whistler, Pemberton area is just full of fun hikes to do.
And I know that that area gets quite a bit of snow. So where you are in Vancouver, are you getting much snow there during the wintertime as well?
No, we actually get 2-3 weeks of snow, like, actually in the city where you can see the streets covered in snow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, one of the cities that gets less snow
okay.
in whole Canada, I think. Yeah.
And I guess it's just being right there, kind of on the coast. Well, I say on the coast, kind of right there in the Seattle region, and that area doesn't really get that much snow, but once you get up into the mountains, you start to get quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And we get that snow all the way until April.
Okay.
Like the last bit of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if you still, even during the winter months, if you're able to get out with her up into the mountains or anything like that and in the snow.
Oh, yes. And Stella loves snow so much. She's the happiest. Yeah. So I think this is like our first time going to snow adventures, being a fully grown puppy, basically. So we did recently last. So we did this incredible, like, snow adventure last weekend where we went to Cypress, where they also do snowboarding, skiing, but you can get a pass to do, like, backcountry.
Okay.
So we went up there, and she was really, really happy.
Yeah.
We went there on December 1st. I think they opened the mountain for, like, ski season a week before that, and I really wanted to get some snow photos and take Stella because she loves the snow.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just to celebrate that December was here. So she had the greatest time of her life running towards me because I would tell her to, like, go away and then come back and forward. She was really happy doing that.
Well, I really want to go back just a little bit and talk about some of your favorite local spots. And I know that you kind of mentioned that you don't really do the same trails twice, which I'm a little jealous because I always do some of the same trails over and over because we just don't have that many trails. But tell me about some of your favorite local hikes and trails just around where you live.
Well, we always have to drive a little bit to get to them because I'm in downtown, so, you know, surrounded by the city. So I still have to drive at least to North Vancouver.
Okay.
But my favorite trails in North Van include, like, Seymour Mountain. There's another mountain where you can also do snowboarding and skiing.
Okay.
But during the summer, and they don't have snow, and you can still do the trails.
Seymour, that would be, I guess that's Mount Seymour Provincial Park?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's just up kind of just north of Vancouver.
And then Cypress is also in North Vancouver, so it's considered another provincial park, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite, just because there's a trail called Eagle's Bluff.
Okay.
And that trail, as you go up, it has different lakes as you are going up. So you have, like, three different lakes, and then you go to the top, and then you see basically whole Vancouver from the top.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it on the map now. Whoa, that's really Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it's a really, really beautiful hike. Like, it's probably my favorite around Vancouver.
Okay. And that's not too far. That's kind of northwest of Vancouver, kind of more towards, I keep wanting to say the coast, but it is not the coast. It is, what is that? The Strait of Georgia. I apologize. This is going to be a geography lesson for me because I really don't know Vancouver all that well. So I'm kind of looking at it on the map as you talk about it and trying to figure out where everything is.
It's okay. Honestly, like, I'm still kind of new to, like, all these areas, but I also have so many areas that I want to explore that's why we don't do the same trail tribe, because I just want to do them all.
Oh, yeah, I totally get it. It's like you're kind of right in the middle of everything. There's so many parks and just so much mountain area just everywhere to the north.
Yeah, so basically that's the only reason that we don't do the same trail twice.
Okay.
Because there's so much to explore that I cannot contain myself.
Well, during the week when you're in the city, and actually I shouldn't assume, do you normally do weekends to get out away from the city?
Well, I usually work Monday to Friday. So during the summer, we were able to do some hikes during the week, but now that the schedule changed and it gets dark really soon and it doesn't give us enough time to drive somewhere and actually enjoy a proper hike. So what I do is that during the weekdays, I stay around the city. So we do more city lifestyle, I guess.
Okay.
And the weekends, I just head out.
Okay. Anything specific in the city that you like to do? Dog parks or anything like that?
I like to walk to Falls Creek. It's not really far away from my place. And they do have some off-leash dog parks. And Stella likes going to those ones. But yeah, I think mostly when we have time, we do walk during the weekdays to the Falls Creek area. Because it's, it's that area where it's basically you have a view of the ocean, but also of the city, because it goes towards downtown, but you get to see all the boats and I don't know, it's really pretty.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right there kind of in Vancouver Harbor as well.
Yes.
Okay. And I tell you what, I'm going to give me one second. Yeah.
Okay.
Rue, my dog, she's right here now. She just got home just a few minutes ago. So it takes just a second. She has to tell me hello and hey girl. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Is Stella there with you now?
Yeah, I just put out all my fresh laundry and she likes to sit in that pile. Even
of course.
Though she knows that she's not supposed to stay down there, but
of course.
Anyway.
That's their favorite, is to get right on the clean laundry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. any dog parks? You mentioned during the weekdays, Falls Creek, and I'm looking at it on a map now.
Yeah, so Falls Creek is a shore inlet that separates downtown from the rest of the city, so you can walk along. I would call it trail, but
okay.
I don't think it's the proper word. So you can walk around there, and there's some restaurants around along the way, and the Olympic Village is just right there as well. And you see Science Row from there, which is a museum for kids, and they do have some off-leash sections.
Okay.
And you can walk all the way to Granville Island, which is a place that everybody likes to go.
Yeah, okay, I see it now. I'm looking at it on the map, and it's kind of just the urban park and trail area. Oh, but that's a huge dog park, and it looks like there's several big dog parks. Is all of that off-leash?
I think there's some that are off leash, and but you can definitely walk basically anywhere on leash.
Okay. Well, kind of further away from home, do you have any other places that you've gone to maybe recently, stuff that you've really enjoyed heading out to?
Yes, we went to Banff during the summer.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. The only downside of it is that I do not have like any proper photos from it. My camera was under repair, so we definitely have all the memories in our hearts, basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, that just means you have to go back sometime and take some photos, but yeah, you still have the memories.
I think I took just like short videos and, you know, photos with my phone, but yeah, it's like dog's heaven. I'm not gonna lie. Like, everything there is just so dog friendly.
Okay.
That you can bring your dog anywhere with you.
Well, tell me a little bit about your trip, because I've never been there, but all the photos I've ever seen of Banff are just amazing. So where in Banff did you go to? How long were you there?
The way I like plan my trips is like, okay, we're going to go there, and then I kind of like this area, and I don't really know where is it, but I'm just like going to drive there, and it's like, and then I will figure out from there. So my plan was just like to drive to Banff, which I did.
Okay.
And we sent like campground, I guess, somewhere between in the park. They have specific spots for you to like, you know, where you can like actually pay to set your campground, and then you can set up a tent in some places. Some others, you need to be inside of a car because there's a lot of grizzly bears up there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you need like an RV or something like that. So sometimes we just like stay inside of the car and sleep in the car because it was safer for us that way.
Okay.
And we also went to Jasper, which is not that far away from Banff. I think it's just like an hour between Banff and Jasper.
Just up to the north.
And we did some of like the common lakes that everybody has.
Okay.
But I think one of our favorite hikes around there was not necessarily in Banff, but was in Jasper. And I do not remember the name of the trail, but it was somewhere facing the glacier. There's a huge glacier that you can see from the trail that we took. And I wish I had photos of that because it was so gorgeous.
Yeah. I've gotten to do one glacier hike, and it's a beautiful, amazing thing to see.
Yeah, like that hike specifically that we did, it was not in the glacier, but you can see it across from the like the other mountain that we did the trail.
Well, I'm a little jealous. Banff is beautiful. It's always been on my list, and it's one of the places I really want to get to one of these days. I've got to try to get up there in the summer sometime. And then you also have Tofino.
Yes. This was a different trip.
Okay.
This one was a little bit more planned through, so I can tell you specifically where we went. And so we went during the summer to Tofino.
Okay.
Which is, you can take the ferry from Vancouver and then to the island, and then you can drive for like an hour and you get to Tofino, which is like almost like a surf. Most people go there for surfing, but there's also like a lot of trails, and you can also camp.
Okay.
I think I had a day off at work, so I decided to leave on Friday, and I drove to the ferry. BC ferries are great, and they have like a kennel area where you can leave your dog, but you can also leave your dog inside your car if you're traveling, you know, with your car.
Okay.
And you can basically walk in that area. So Stella was not stressed about it. And then once you get off the ferry, you drive 1 hour to Tofino. And we stayed at Bella Pacifica campground. And I set up the campground in there. I think you pay like $35 or $45 a night, which is not that bad.
Oh, wow.
They have
okay.
hot showers in there. But the great thing about it is that you have the entire shore for yourself, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, people that just go there to, like, walk their dogs, and it's really dog-friendly because even, like, the establishments and the stores that will have, like, pet bowls outside of the stores, and some of them let you walk in with your dog, and it kind of depends on the place, but you can also, like, have dinner with your dog being on the patio, so you don't need to leave your dog, basically, at any moment.
Yeah, that's always great when you can go somewhere and it's just really dog friendly. And I'm looking at some of the photos now as you're talking about Tofino, and yeah, it's got that kind of the typical Pacific Northwest look to that beach, and it's a beautiful beach.
Yes, it's amazing. Honestly, like, I think our walk's never been, like, so happy, because we wake up and basically, like, it's like, okay, Stella, it's time for your, like, morning walk, and basically let her go off leash and just, like, run along the shore, and you know, it was just a great time for both of us.
Yeah, and it looks like you had the place to yourself. There's no one else out
yeah.
there.
Well, the thing is also, like, it's a big shore, and you can, like, if you wake up early, you basically won't find anyone, you know, because everybody's still sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Okay, well, I'm going to kind of move on. There was, you know, one of the things that I really want to talk about, and as I'm looking through your photos, this reminds me of, there was a great post that you made back in the beginning of November, and you talked a little bit about taking a first aid course. What inspired you to, first of all, to take a first aid course, and tell me a little bit about what information you found?
So the first time I saw the Wax and Wax first aid, like, logo, I think it was when I went to visit one of my friends to LA, and I needed to leave Stella. So I was asking around for someone to, like, take care of Stella while I was gone, and a friend of mine recommended me another of her friends that properly takes care of, like, dogs, and I went through her website, and I saw the logo, and I was like, oh, she has pets first aid. That's so interesting. And it kind of stayed in my mind, and I didn't really research it until later on. And then I saw that a couple of, like, local pet stores, they also send, like, their staff to take the course. And
okay.
I was like, oh, wow, this is an actual thing that, you know, that people take. So I, like, researched it briefly, you know, Google. And I came up with their webpage, and then I was like, oh, this seems like a really interesting course. And they had a date that was, like, available for me to, like, take the course, and I was like, send it up, and I signed in. And they also had another course going on for the next day, which is called the Off-Grid. And
okay.
This course, it's complementary to, like, the first aid, but it's targeted towards being outdoors, basically.
Okay. Yeah, kind of off the grid, I guess, if you will, when you're out in the middle of nowhere. And this is specifically, they're on Instagram at Walks and Wags Pet First Aid, for anyone interested and wants to find it. And yeah, I saw that you posted about it, and it inspired me to go take a look. And it's definitely something, with as much as I get out and explore and adventure with my dog, and I know a lot of people, you know, get out and adventure with their dogs, first aid is definitely a big deal. So I mean, tell me a little bit about what you learned.
Well, basically, for the first one, which is the proper life first aid course, you learn from, like, you know, prevention and how to treat and, like, how to identify an illness in a really early stage and how to bandage your pet and, you know, who to call in case of an emergency.
Okay.
And they tell you what to do if your dog needs CPR and if your dog chokes and you need to, you know, help her or him, and what you have in your first aid kit. And there's a lot of subjects that are just for, like, prevention, but
okay.
It definitely is also, like, a hands-on practice. And the way they do the course is fun as well, because you get games to remember stuff, and you can practice either on the pet, because they allow you to bring your dog if you register your dog when you sign in.
Okay.
But you have to be, your dog has to be okay being in touch and, you know.
Sure.
Because you're going to practice and have to put bandages and stuff. And if your dog doesn't like it, well, they probably won't enjoy it. So you can opt to bring your dog. I didn't brought Stella with me because it was a 10-hour day and she's still a young puppy.
Yeah.
So I decided not to bring her with me, so I did practice on other people's dogs.
Okay.
Because I took my course with 5 other people, I think. And some of them brought their dogs along, and that was awesome because I was able to practice on an actual living dog. But they also have stuffed animals,
mm-hmm.
so you can practice on a fake dog, too.
So it sounds like just kind of going through a lot of essentially basic first aid and just common sense stuff to know in that first course. Is there more advanced stuff that you can do? And you mentioned the off-grid course.
Yeah, the off-grid course focuses more in, like, what you can do when you don't have, like, resources, or
okay.
how to prevent other stuff that may happen outdoors. It's a lot of, like, prevention and how to plan and prepare for a trip, because, you know, every single time you head outdoors, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And you kind of need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into doing the basic, the 10-hour course and that off-grid course, did you have any understanding of doing first aid before you went into the course?
I took first aid for humans.
Okay.
When I was in high school, but that was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
And also, it works kind of the same as the human first aid. In order for you to be certified, you have to renew your certification every 3 years.
Okay.
Because you tend, even though you get your manual and obviously you pay attention during the course, there's some things that you may forget, or there's some things that may change since you take the course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things change over time. That's definitely true. And I guess what they offer is basic first aid knowledge for everyday people. Then they also have what you were mentioning, like the first aid certification. They also do classes for people that work with animals on a regular basis on a professional level.
Yeah, it's when we were introducing ourselves during the course, my instructor was really surprised because most of, like, the people that was taking the course this time was a actual, like, pet owner.
Okay.
And most of the time, the people that go and take it say, "Oh, my boss has sent me to take the course, so I'm here."
Yeah, I guess people in the industry that have to take that kind of stuff for certification.
Yeah, but definitely I would say that anybody that has a pet at home, it's a really great thing to actually know, because they're really basic stuff that I wasn't aware that could happen. Just never completely thought about it.
Yeah.
And it's a really useful information because, you know, there's no 911 for dogs or cats, per se.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That's something I've never actually contemplated other than, you know, taking your pet to like a 24-hour emergency place. There is no, you know, you can't just call an ambulance for your dog.
Yeah, like if something happens to your dog, you're like the first response and you basically have to do it all yourself. And, you know, you're probably going to have to drive there. And it's worse if it's the middle of the night and you don't know who to call or what to do.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Even more so if you happen to be out hiking, camping, backpacking in the middle of nowhere and there is no one to call. So really important information to know.
Yeah.
After the course, do you feel competent? Do you feel like you learned something that, I mean, would it help you out in those situations?
Yes, definitely. Also, like, I wasn't aware of, like, how much planning I could do to, like, actually help Stella. So, basically, like, besides having our first aid kit, some of the things that we do to prepare to head out of the house, it's, yes, doing, like, the research of, like, the trail conditions and how it's going to be.
Okay.
But also, for example, having knowledge of, like, the closest vet clinic or emergency clinic that is available for us in our way there.
Okay.
For example, I know that in Vancouver, there are two locations that are open, like, basically 24/7. And if we go to North Vancouver, I know to which location to go. But when we travel farther away, let's say when we went to Banff, I will actually know or call at least three vets that were in that area.
Oh, wow.
Just to know if they're open, like, you know, 24/7, or if there's something that I should know about, like, diseases or anything different that it will be from Vancouver.
Sure.
Just to keep that in mind and to be prepared. And also the other thing that we do is that I also keep in mind having the poison control line. This is an HPCA Animal Poison Control Center, which basically you can call and they charge you, I think, around $60 for like calling. But in case your dog or cat or whichever pet you have ingest something that may their stomach upset or you start seeing like signs that they're not okay and you notice that they ate something,
mm-hmm.
you can call them and they will walk you through what to do. And also they will follow up if you ended up taking your dog to the vet or the clinic. They will follow up with you to know what happened. And this is also, I think, the line most vets use when they are not familiar with the thing that your dog might ingest.
Okay.
So they definitely keep following up with your case. And it's just good to call them because they have a bunch of experience of like how to handle the situation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to get that from you and I'll include that in the show notes because that's really good information to have. And yeah, I mean, that's probably something I should be doing a better job of is just kind of researching ahead and figuring out, you know, as much time and planning as I put into taking some of my bigger trips, you know, finding camping spots and researching which trails. I should also probably add in there, yeah, finding a vet in the area.
Yeah, I actually, before taking the course, I never thought about that. But, I mean, you know, when you're, like, in somewhere that you are not necessarily familiar, you are like, oh, no, suddenly I might need someone. I don't know anyone.
Yeah, and you don't want to waste time trying to locate a vet. And you might even be in a place when you get there where you might not have self-service. So, yeah, that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this one, they're located in Canada, but they do have, online classes that you can take. And that's what I'd been looking at doing. And it's not too expensive.
Yeah. And DC is great for anybody that has like a really busy schedule and cannot make the one-on-one classes. But they have great like videos and photos of how to do the bandages and everything that you get to do one-on-one. They have like great resources for you to do it at home.
Yeah. Did they go through like how to build out a first aid kit and kind of everything that you need?
Yes, actually, one of like the first pages that you have from the manual is like the first aid contents that you can get. I think there are brands out there that sell specific first aid kits for dogs. I know that Kurgo does one.
Okay.
And then they suggest certain additions that they don't tend to have, like a thermometer and an iPad, a flashlight, paper and pencil, and, you know, sterile water and other stuff that do not come with the pet kit usually.
Yeah. A lot of very simple common sense things that some people don't really think about adding to their first aid kit.
Yeah. For example, a thermometer is something that you would like to have for sure. And first aid kits never come with that. Like there's just something that you will have to buy separately.
Yeah. I've got several. I like the little digital thermometers, too. They're much easier to use, and you don't have to. yeah, I won't go into that, like how to use a thermometer with a dog. There's very accurate ways, and then there's less accurate ways that are a little easier, but we'll save that.
Yeah.
We'll save that for the actual first aid course. And they do have instructors, not just in Canada, but kind of all over the place. So they're totally worth checking out. But yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes for people that want to check that out. Really, really useful and important stuff. And even if you don't take a first aid course, just having just a first aid kit and basic stuff like that is so important. Having that in the car.
I know that some of like the first aid kits come with a manual. So my Kurgo first aid kit came with a manual that I didn't really need because I already have like a mini manual that I like.
Yeah.
But it comes with it and you can read that. And, you know, if in case something happens, you can actually, you know, do something.
Yeah. When you're out and you don't have the internet, yes, read the manual.
Yes, and also, like, you might be in shock, too. You might be, like, paralyzed and be like, oh, no, I just forgot everything that I learned, and I don't know what to do. And thank God you have it right in perfect, you know?
Yeah. Having that manual there, it kind of brings you back if you're in an emergency and you've got to look it up and figure out exactly what to do. Sometimes having that manual actually is it's a second to take a breath and kind of calm yourself. Well, speaking of having a first aid kit, you know, what are some of the other items besides just having a first aid kit? And do you keep a first aid kit like in your car, maybe one in your pack?
So I keep the bigger size one that it has basically everything in there. I keep it in my car.
Okay.
And then I have another one at home. And I have one in my, like, hiking backpack, like a mini version of it.
Yeah.
But I also added, like, a bunch of, like, gauze and, like, other stuff that you might need. Because usually gauze comes individually wrapped. So you might use, all of it or most of it. And you can apply like the sterile ones to like the actual wound and then use the extra padding from like the ones that are not sterile. But I do have one at home, one in my car.
Yeah.
And then one in my hiking backpack. And the reason for it is just like, I feel responsible now that I just took the course. I'm like, I really know this stuff.
Yeah.
And if I don't have the resources, I will feel so bad for not like having what I need.
Yeah, now you know all the stuff. You might as well put it to use, you know?
Yeah. I don't only keep it for Stella, but in case that, you know, we might encounter another, like, dog or anybody else that need help, I can jump in and, like, help them. I think it's something that you can, you know, share if you know it.
Yeah. Well, any other things that you use besides just having a first aid kit? Any items that you really, you know, you count on and that you keep?
One of the things that I keep too is like a baby sock, because you can use it in case like you need a bandage and your dog's ball like get injured, and somehow you can use a baby sock.
Okay.
I also keep like the bandage in. I also have, what did I have with me? I have a list of like phone numbers that I can call, including the animal poison control lines, just in case Stella eats something that, you know.
Okay. And then you mentioned a hiking leash that's made from recycled climbing rope.
Oh, yes. Our beloved leash. How could I forget it? That leash actually has been with me for a really long time.
Okay.
I think I got my first one when Stella was like 5 months old. And they're made in the U.S. And they're, as you say, they're made from like recycling climbing rope. The thing with climbing ropes, they only have a couple of years where they can actually use them. I think you can only use them for like 5 years. And if they don't get used, they basically have to like either throw them away or like, I don't know, but they cannot be used. So this company, what they do is that they use those ropes that they can't use anymore, but they're still pretty stable. And I love that leash so much because it doesn't get frayed. Like, if they have a lifetime guarantee. Stella basically can like drag the leash and, you know, it's still in perfect condition.
Yeah.
The only reason that I changed that leash is because of once I lost one while we were hiking, and I basically went the next day to the pet store and I was like, I need a new leash. I just lost my beloved leash.
Oh.
But yeah, that leash is so great because you can like attach it to your body so you're like hands-free.
Okay.
And you can adjust the size and you can do so many things with it.
And I don't know if you mentioned the brand of it.
Oh, the brand, I think, Mountain Dog Products.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, really love them. Like, I was so devastated when I lost my first one.
Yeah. And what's great is, because it's all recycled, like, first of all, I mean, yeah, you're reusing something that's, you know, you're giving it a second life, but then you get all these multicolored ropes, and they, I'm sure that they constantly have different colors and different styles, so it's probably always changing.
Yeah, actually, where I got our leash, one of like the employees that works there told me that they usually can never choose the color of the leashes they're getting because they're so different that they basically just order like the style of the leash and they never know which color they're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how funny is that? I'm actually looking at their website now and they do have one of their leashes. The color that they have in stock right now is called Beagle Blue.
Yeah.
There you go. In case you're in the market for a new leash, they currently have Beagle Blue.
Oh my God, no. I don't want to get a new one, but at the same time, I like them so much.
Well, cool. I will definitely include all of these in the show notes, especially the Mountain Dog products. Yeah, those are neat leashes. Do you have any friends in real life or friends on Instagram that you would like to give a shout out to?
Of course. I think our first shout out will be to our dog trainer. Her name is Tara Tower. And
okay.
She is amazing. She has a dog also. Her dog's name is Chevy, and they do agility together. And but they also help other dogs when they're training. Like if your dog has like reactivity issues or other stuff, I have seen them like working with other dogs.
Okay.
And she helped me a lot with Stella when she was going through her teenager phase, and definitely helped us to have better communication.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking now. Oh, so she's gotten to work directly with Chevy?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, pretty dog. Okay. That's really cool. So, yeah, I will include her. And she's on Instagram at Spook Tricks and Treats. All one word.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I will definitely include that. Anyone else that you wanted to give a shout out to?
Yes, we just made new friends recently.
Okay.
So we met Daily Lucky and Pacho the Derp.
Okay.
And they're not really close from us, but I wanted so badly to meet them. And we met during this month. And the reason we met is just because they were doing a giveaway. And we kind of like talked through Instagram, and I was like, oh, they told me that we're doing a hike together. And I was like, oh, can I join in? And then that was our first like Instagram kind of like meet up with other accounts.
Okay.
And it was definitely really fun. Loki's mom is a dog groomer, and they also do agility together. And Pacho is just this cutest little man.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of hikes, him and his mom.
Okay. Yeah, he's a bit of a floof. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And they're not too far away. It looks like they're also in British Columbia as well. But yes, another perfect example of small dogs adventuring. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. They live in, I think, Patch's mom lives in Abbotsford, and then Loki's mom lives in Chilliwack.
Okay. Okay. Not too far away, I guess.
No, I mean, if you count that we drive anywhere for pleasure and for hikes, like an hour away for us is not that long.
No, that's not too bad. Well, cool. I will definitely include them in the show notes and the shout outs as well. So, you know, I guess speaking of driving and driving an hour away for a meetup, something like that, any plans for future adventures coming up?
I don't have necessarily a plan. I know that we definitely want to go back to Banff and Tofino.
Okay.
But I also kind of want to go to Alaska this year if possible.
How far is that from you?
I exactly don't know.
I mean,
it's just been in my bucket list, and I kind of want to do it during the summer.
Okay.
And I might get a proper Jeep this year, so hopefully we'll be able to do it during the summer. So we will see about that, but we definitely will go back Tofino and Banff this year for the summer as well.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know that you are right up there in Vancouver, so you're a lot closer to Alaska than me, but I know that Alaska is still a considerable distance away from even where you are. So, yeah, that would be a big trip. That would be a lot of fun, I'm sure. That would be great.
Yeah, we would proper planning this time if we ended up going to Alaska.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have one last big question for you, and that's this. If I could come up to Vancouver and Rue and I, we're going to take over for you. We're going to do your work. We're going to take over all your responsibilities. You don't have anything to worry about. All you have to do is pack up and you and Stella are going to go anywhere and do anything, where would that be?
Well, I have a big place in my heart. I haven't never been in there, but I really want to. I want to go to Utah.
Okay.
And probably because, you know, nature and everything around it is so different than where we used to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I always grew up, like, loving, like, cowboys and, like, you know, all that type of, like, feeling. So I really want to go with her in there and just take beautiful pictures.
Yeah. Anywhere specific in Utah?
I don't know. As I told you, I'm really bad at planning, so I'm usually just like go there. But
yeah,
I feel that for this, I would just like have to do a little bit more research. I'm not really familiar with the area or anything, but I will definitely love to be there.
Yeah, I've been there multiple times, and I can definitely tell you it is a beautiful place. We have been mostly to southern Utah. It's kind of my favorite. I'm a big fan of the desert areas. But then you have northern Utah is a little more mountainous. But definitely the desert in southern Utah is hands down my favorite place in the world.
I can only imagine. You say you're jealous of me going to Banff, but you haven't gone to Utah. So yeah.
This is true. Yeah, I you know, if you ever have any place that you're looking for, I can definitely speak for southern Utah and tell you there are some amazing places down there that I can recommend.
Oh, yes.
Definitely do it.
Oh.
If at all, I know that I'm kind of bringing it up as like the dream trip thing, but you should definitely go. I mean, if you can make arrangements at some point, it's totally worth it. So we'll make out the itinerary for you. We'll get some travel tickets for you, or we will just lend you the Adventure Dog podcast all-terrain vehicle, and you can just drive it on down to Utah and just have a fun time in Utah.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah. I'm hands down for that.
Yeah. Eventually, that's going to be one of the places I think that if I can get enough people, I would just have a big meetup in southern Utah. Totally. I get that. That's my dream place as well. Well, cool. I'm glad to talk to you. You've got some beautiful, amazing photos. It's really cool to hear about all of the information about the first aid. That's something really, really important. And it's something I need to do and get that certification.
Yeah. And you honestly will have a great time. Like, I didn't feel that the information was, like, overwhelming, even though I took it in one day, like, the entire course. But definitely, if you take it online, you can, like, probably go on your own piece and,
yeah,
you know, spend as much time as you want.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. That and the fact that they don't have, unfortunately, any instructors in my area. So my only option is to do the online course. But I'm looking forward to it because it looks really good. It looks thorough.
Yeah, like honestly, I don't think you will regret it. And knowing, like, it gives you a peace of mind, like knowing what you can do and how you can help your own dog.
Yeah. Well, Carla, thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me about Stella. She is a beautiful pup. And yeah, I just really appreciate it. I'm enjoying looking at her photos. And thank you for all the information on the first aid stuff, too.
Oh, thank you for letting us be part of the show. We really enjoy it. So I was really excited when you asked us to be part of it.
Yay. Well, I will let you go. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Every conversation I have includes way more information than I can possibly put into an hour-long episode. One of the cool things Carla and I talked about was how she took Stella home with her to Mexico not long ago to meet her family, And it's one of the things I'd love to hear about, just other people's experiences in general with flying with your pups. Email us at Nathan@AdventureDogPodcast.com and let me know about your experiences. Finally, in closing, Rue and I will be taking a week off from the podcast while we adventure. Though we will be posting when we can, so follow along on our hashtag EpicWinterTrip, and please keep in touch with us at AdventureDogPodcast on Instagram. Feel free to message us, and of course, check out the show notes over at our website to find links to everything we talked about. Most importantly, information about Walks and Wags Pet First Aid. Rue and I want to take this moment to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and we will be back January 10th with a new episode in the future of 2020. As always, thanks for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.